Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Where are we now?
37.
37, okay.
Sharira manasa divya. Vayase ye cha marusha. Bautikas chapatam klesha. Badhanti hari samshrayam. Shariraha.
Pertaining to the body.
Pertaining to the body.
Manasaha.
Manasaha.
Pertaining to the mind.
Pertaining to the mind.
Divyaha.
Divyaha.
Pertaining to flowers.
Pertaining to the natural flowers.
Demigods.
Demigods.
Vayase.
Vayase.
O Vidura.
O Vidura.
Ye. Those. Cha. And. Manushaha.
Manushaha.
Pertaining to other men.
Pertaining to other men.
Bhautika.
Bhautika.
Pertaining to other living beings.
Pertaining to other living beings.
Cha. And.
And.
Katam.
Katam.
How.
Plesha.
Miseries. Badanti. And trouble.
And trouble.
Harisamshrayam.
Harisamshrayam.
One who has taken shelter of Lord Krishna.
One who has taken shelter of Lord Krishna.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Vidura, how can persons completely under the shelter of Lord Krishna in devotional service be put into miseries pertaining to the body, the mind, nature, and other men and living creatures? Purport. Every living entity within this material world is always afflicted by some kind of miseries pertaining either to the body, the mind, or natural disturbances. Distresses due to cold in winter and severe heat in summer always inflict miseries on the living entity in this material world. But one who has completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in Krishna consciousness is in the transcendental stage. He is not disturbed by any miseries, either due to this body, the mind, or natural disturbances of summer and winter. He is transcendental to all these miseries. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogina sevate sagunan samatidhyayetan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in Krishna's talking, in my service, without deviation, transcends nature, and by having transcended those three modes, he attains to the fourth alternative, what's called the Turiya stage, or transcendence. He becomes liberated. This is a very simple formula that Krishna gives for liberation. It's not such a complicated matter. You have to become free from the influence of the three modes. It is not, either in this verse of the Bhagavatam or anywhere else, promised that by becoming Krishna's devotee, the three kinds of miseries of this life in the material world will not continue to disturb you. Sharira. Miseries
pertaining to the body. The material body is an imperfect machine. In the spiritual world, we have transcendental bodies, and we don't have material needs. If the devotees sit down to enjoy lunch, it's simply lila, because Krishna is enjoying his lunch. The devotees, some of them join him, and everybody eats like that in the spiritual world. There's no need to eat. There's no metabolic requirement of the body that if I don't eat, then the proteins and the fats and the sugars, carbohydrates, that my body needs to keep itself functioning, if they're deprived for a long time, then my body will get sick and die. It's a material need. I have to eat every day, at least once a day. Most people, maybe some yogi can eat less than once a day. People are generally not satisfied unless they eat three times a day, unless they eat enough to make them sick. But everybody has to eat something. Even the most severe practitioner of austerities has to eat something sometime. That's the material requirement. It's a strict imposition of material nature. And there are other needs too. We have to breathe. We have to excrete poisons from our body sometime during the day. Even the great yogi has to go to the toilet also. These are material necessities. Unless we live in a place where the environment is very ideal and comfortable, we usually need some sort of shelter in the winter or the summer, depending on the climate. Most yogis, those who have a bhajan kuti where they sit to protect themselves from the elements. Although there may be some very ideal climates where you can live in a tree or just sleep under a tree, but most places you need some protection. You need some clothing. You need a place to protect you from the weather. The fourth necessity is not really a necessity. The yogis can't avoid sex. You know, it's only those who can't control their senses that think they have to have sex. That one can be avoided, but the other three cannot. Got to have some shelter, got to have some food. Sometimes shelter also means protection against other living beings. Sometimes you have to fight with somebody, unless you just want, if you don't mind being killed. If you want to maintain your life, you sometimes have to fight. If you want to maintain your sadhana, you sometimes have to fight for that. So these are material necessities. Only the sex is not really necessary. But in Jai, Krishna Balaram, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Spiritual condition, our original condition, is otherwise. We don't need to eat in this world. We need to be tired. Everyone has to sleep sometime every day. It can be minimized, but it can't be stopped altogether. We read about great devotees like Raghunath Das. They minimized their eating and sleeping, but they didn't stop it altogether. They slept 1 hour a day, at least, something. Ate something. You know, a dona of chach, or, a little cup of buttermilk every other day, at least something. But in the spiritual world, we don't need anything. We don't need to eat. We don't need to sleep. We certainly don't need to have sex. Shelter is provided without any requirement, without any struggle. We don't need, but we get. Everything is provided. All opulences are provided in the spiritual world, even though we don't need them. Just for Krishna's pastimes, just for pleasure. Totally different situations, the spiritual situations. If we sit different, we should want to strive to attain that spiritual situation. Krishna gives the formula. If you want it, this is how to get it. Serve me and don't deviate. Serve me with pure devotion. Not deviate means shuddha bhakti. Not mixed with the motives of material success or liberation. Not mixed with other processes, karma, jnana, yoga. But straight, pure, undiluted Baba used the term unalloyed. That's from metallurgy. When you get the pure 100% metal, 24 karat gold, that's unalloyed. Even the 22 karat gold is alloyed. It's an alloy. It's mixed with something else. The Shudabhatni is 24 karat, unmixed with anything else. That process will bring you to liberation, according to Krishna's prescription. Without deviation, serve me, and you will transcend the three modes of nature. Not that your body will ever cause trouble to you. You'll get sick. You have to eat. You have to go to the toilet. The body will demand these things. And it is a little, this imperfect material machine, although it's very wonderfully constructed, very elegant design, complex. Biologists are just beginning to discover how complex the living body is. Every cell, trillions of cells, and every cell is an incredibly complex organism, every individual cell in the body. The chemical processes that go on in metabolism are complex beyond the capacity of a human mind to even understand. Jai Shri Gaurini Jai. What to speak of create? What to create have the power to design such a thing? A human mind can't even understand it. What to speak of come up with the idea in the first place of how to design a simple living body? Not even a human being, even an amoeba. That one cell is so complex. The chemical reactions that go on to sustain life. Food has to be digested. It has to be converted into usable energy, usable for chemicals that can be used directly for energy. And the waste products, what is left over. The part of the food that can't be used becomes the waste. It has to be eliminated. So every single cell and every complex organism has to, in very complicated ways, carry out these processes of digestion, usage of energy, and removal of waste. And if there's some disruption, the Ayurvedic science explains dosha, accumulation of undigested things that should have been eliminated from the body, parts of the food that can't be digested. They're not properly digested. They remain in parts of the body that accumulates. And disease. And if there's any imbalance in this metabolism process of eating, digesting, and eliminating, if there's any imbalance, you'll become sick. The higher contributors of living entities to be slaughtered in wars. This is by higher dictation. The human beings may be the instrument. They may think they're deciding to fight with one another, but they're being pushed, impelled to fight by the demigods. Even the Battle of Kurukshetra, although it's externally a dynasty conflict between one side of the Kuru family and the other, actually you read in the Adiparva how many demigods and demons were taking birth in those two families because they wanted to fight it out on the earth. Now, it was demigods and demons actually behind this whole Kurukshetra conflict. So, these miseries are unavoidable. It's not promised to us that by surrendering and becoming an unalloyed devotee, they'll stop completely. They will be mitigated by Krishna's kindness. Diminished, the sufferings will be diminished, but won't stop altogether. What is promised is that we can transcend the influence of the three modes. In other words, even while the sufferings continue, still to some extent, we can transcend them. We can learn to ignore them and not be disturbed by them. We're not disturbed by pain. We're not delighted by material pleasure. We lose our interest in them. Pain is tolerated. Pleasure is not indulged in because it doesn't attract us too much. and we transcend and go back to Godhead. That is what is offered to us. Not a bed of roses, an ideal material life where everything will be comfortable and easy. But we're offered liberation. And beyond liberation, Krishna's lotus feet. Brahma Bhutak Vasanatma Nashochati Nakangshati. When you get to that transcendental stage by going beyond the influence of the three modes, then you become peaceful, satisfied, equally disposed to everyone, samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And that is, if you want it, the qualification for going the next step, mad bhaktim labhate param. You can enter Krishna's transcendental loving service. There are two different kinds of service, devotional service, mentioned in this passage. Because it began, yomam avibhicharena bhakti yogi na sevate. One who serves me in bhakti yoga, he becomes liberated. And then after liberation, he gets bhakti yoga. What's going on here? It just goes around in a circle? No, because there are two different kinds of devotional service, although they're both called bhakti. One discipline is discipline in practice. The other, bhakti yoga, is spontaneous loving service. The higher kind of bhakti. Bhaktiya sanjataya bhaktiya. By devotion, you can get Krishna, according to Krishna's explanation that he gives to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Bhaktiya sanjataya bhaktiya. I am conquered by pure devotion, loving devotion. Bhaktiya sanjataya. And that loving devotion can be acquired. If you don't have it, if you have it already, fine. Go ahead and use it. If you don't have it, if you don't have love for Krishna, then you can practice devotional service according to the regulations of Shastra and the guidance of a spiritual master. And that will help you develop bhava janmani, love in the heart. Ata chittam samadhatum nasi mayi stiram abhyasa yogena tato mam ichaptum dhanajaya. My dear Arjuna, if you cannot simply think of me 24 hours a day, if you're thinking about other things, I can offer you an alternative, second alternative method. The regulated practice of bhakti yoga. Abhyasa yoga. In practice, but that means devotional yoga, not standing on your shoulders and doing pranayama, but the nava-vidha practice of bhakti, nine kinds of devotional practice, beginning with hearing and chanting. That, the benefit of that, in itself, hearing and chanting will not directly gain Krishna's favor. But indirectly it does. Because it awakens transcendental attraction to Krishna, love for Krishna in the heart. And that love is what conquers Krishna. Krishna akarshani chasa. There are six powers of devotion that are described in the very first chapter of the Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. Kleshagni shubhada. Moksha laguta krit. What is it? Sudur Labha. No, there was one before that. Vishesh.
Shubhada.
Shubhada, no, I did it. This is, it's full of Ananda, Sandrananda Visheshatma. Sandrananda Visheshatma. Shri Krishna Akarshani Chasa. Six qualities or actual service. What devotional service can do for you. Kleshagni, destroy miseries. That's the first thing. You start, you come to devotional service miserable. So we can get rid of that misery first of all. Kleshagni, shubhada, it bestows auspiciousness, makes your life auspicious. Your life was inauspicious, we can make it auspicious by the power of devotional service. Those are the two preliminary stages. That is actually, according to Srila
Jiva Goswami's commentary on that verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is specifically what can be done in sadhana bhakti, in the first stage of devotional service. Destruction of misery, and your life becomes auspicious, even in the beginning. When love is beginning to awaken in the heart, like the sun rising on the horizon. Not fully developed, but it's awakening. Some spontaneous urge is there. Some ecstasy is there. Bhava means ecstasy. When you attain that bhava bhakti stage, then the powers of bhakti are up on a higher level. What is it? Moksha lagutakrit. It makes liberation seem very unimportant. It's so wonderful that it diminishes the attraction of liberation. Sandrananda visheshatma. And the only way you can describe it, it's so ecstatic you can't imagine. Not much more can be said about it. You have to experience it. Then on the third level, prema bhakti, the perfect stage. What was it? The fifth one? Fifth? Extraordinary. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped over one. Yeah, because the Sandrananda Visheshatma belongs to the third stage. So, Moksha Labhutakrit. Oh, some powers or qualities are one power and one quality. The power is it makes liberation seem very unimportant when you have some ecstasy. And Sudurlabha is not easy to obtain. This bhava bhakti, you have to be specially blessed to get into it. It's easier to begin the introductory course. But to get beyond that, you know, there may be 1,000 students in the first level course, but most of them drop out or never make much advancement. Only a few get to the graduate course. Theoretically, everybody can, but it's not easy to go through the whole course. Sudurlabha, very difficult, to be frank and honest about it, difficult to attain bhava bhakti. Then prema bhakti, it's incredibly ecstatic, beyond description. And last, it can control even Krishna. So Krishna can be conquered, but only by prema bhakti. The sadhana bhakti is the means to get the means to control Krishna, but in sadhana bhakti itself doesn't control Krishna. Krishna will not dance on your tongue, you know, make himself manifest in that form until you get prema. Yeah, then you can conquer him. But we practice sadhana bhakti because we don't have prema. That's the way to awaken the bhava and the prema. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
In the beginning of your class, you mentioned that if we become a devotee, then we cannot expect that the miseries will stop. Or, like in Bhagavatam, it's not promised that miseries will stop.
Yes.
But then you quoted this verse, how to match that statement that the bhakti is a flesh of me.
Yeah, so destroys a lot of miseries, but not all of it. Misery is diminished, even for a beginner. Your life is a mess. Practice devotional service for a few weeks and it becomes tolerable. Becomes tolerable. See? Like that. Destroys misery, but not all the misery. If our misery is reduced, you know, if we take some medicine that reduces the pain, then we can go on with our life, even though there's still some pain. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada's society is very big and there's many devotees who are practicing sadhana bhakti. So my question is, just by devotees working within Prabhupada's society, following the process, will they automatically be able to gradually attain to these higher levels? Or does it take some extra special desire and endeavor to come up to those higher levels that you're talking about?
Well, yes, both are true. You said automatically and then can. So yes, automatically you can become perfect, but no guarantee. And it will begin to awaken spontaneous attraction in the heart. That will come. That's what bhakti leads to, sadhana bhakti leads to, is awakening of some spontaneous desire. And that desire is what will raise you above all contamination and actually conquer Krishna eventually. So everybody, by just doing sadhana bhakti, if he does it right, can awaken the seed of love in the heart that will actually be the cause of all success. So yes, everyone can, but not this automatically in the sense that just by going through the motions, you get the results. If you go through the motions exactly right, yes, but we tend to deviate in various ways to undermine our progress by our own stupidity. So if we do that, we're building a house, but we're also digging a tunnel under the house, so the house can collapse. So therefore, it depends. It depends on how purely and carefully we're executing our sadhana bhakti. But that's something to destroy it by improper maintenance of it, or actually doing something to undermine it. Build a nice house, but if you're experimenting with building bombs in the back room, then you can blow up the house. What do you do? So you have to be diligent about doing it properly. Okay.
Just like, sorry, 2 days ago, I read in the newspaper that the cord exploded in some system. And what happened? The sweeper who was cleaning those rooms,
yes,
the cord was keeping some bombs and explosives materials from some confiscated from terrorism,
yes,
high court.
Yes.
So he decided just to burn all the papers and all necessary things. And
burned the bombs.
And somehow they exploded and just sold the 5 big rooms.
Hare Krishna.
And it's important, it's just the key.
Hare Krishna. That's carelessness. Generally, we don't lose the opportunity for success in devotional service just out of carelessness. Krishna usually is, as a super soul, taking care of us. It's when we become really negligent and work against Krishna, or we commit aparads against devotees, then we get into serious trouble. Silly mistakes, Krishna usually adjusts everything so that we go on. We have to suffer for them, but we don't destroy our devotional service by silly mistakes usually. Except for the silly mistake of committing aparads against devotees, that's intolerable. And continue doing that repeatedly, then we'll destroy our devotional service. Thank you. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.